back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling, Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Want to bring Scott Eckersley and Andrea Nelson in here for our prep roundtable. Tom, you know, you see coaches who have great teams, you know what their record's going to be, and I really feel for some of the coaches that you know every year that it's going to be a struggle for them to win a game or two. It doesn't mean they're not doing a good job of coaching. It's just you coach the players you have, and you try to make them better, and that's what high school sport's all about. But when you have a team that starts off playing a tough schedule and they lose a couple of games early, and then they turn it around, and you saw Holt in a situation where that really happened against East Lansing. Mm-hmm. Scott, you were there last night, and you saw the Rams. What can you tell us?
Well, it would have been a whole different ballgame if Herb Alford didn't get hurt last week. Nobody knew why he didn't play. He didn't play the entire first half. Then the third quarter, he came out as wide receiver. And then halfway through the third quarter, he switched over to quarterback. He hurt his hip last week, got an MRI on Thursday, was cleared to play, but he was still really sore. Talked to Coach Woods after the game, asked him what happened. He said at halftime he asked him if he was good to go. He said he would try it. And once he came in, I think he led them on a 3-minute, 96-yard touchdown drive. Then after a punt, a 1-yard or one play, 65-yard touchdown pass, came back down the next possession, threw pretty much the game-clinching interception return for a touchdown. But this game, it got out of hand early. As I was walking from the parking lot, Holt got a safety, returned the punt kickoff for a touchdown, then onside kicked on the kickoff, recovered, then went down and scored a touchdown. So
they would have scored, what, 16 points and almost no time off the clock?
Well, 26-0 at halftime.
Yeah. It, like I said, it was out of hand early. And then in the third quarter, it kind of changed around when Alford came back in at quarterback, made it scary for a little bit, but it was pretty much over by
Eastern's
that time.
A freaky team. You better watch out for them because they're going to get somebody. You know, they're good enough, but they're just so doggone inconsistent. You don't know what you're going to get, like a box of chocolates with Eastern.
Right, right. Well, a team that we know is going to get a lot of people and already has, the DeWitt Panthers. And, Andrea, you were out at DeWitt again working on a story for Sport Magazine on the Higbees, Caleb and Jacob, and the beat goes on. It never stops there.
Oh, no, and it was a great game, 62-41. The score doesn't say completely everything that happened. They were up. It was 62-28 late in the third quarter, and then okay. They started bringing some subs in, so Charlotte did run the score up a little bit. But Nathaniel Deke hit 11 carries, 220 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He was unstoppable, and Charlotte could not do anything.
He's got those tree trunk thighs, Tom.
Yeah.
Guys just hit him and bounce off.
103 points. This game must have taken 3 hours to play. I mean, for a high school game. That's a lot of. I just can't.
It actually wasn't that long, but
really?
They would just score on every. I think the in the first quarter, Charlotte would score, and then the second play of DeWitt's possession, they scored. Charlotte came down and scored, and then the first play of DeWitt's possession, they scored. It was just back and forth and back and forth.
You know, the Oregon Duck does push-ups after every score, the points, and
right.
They talked about how many he'd done last week when they get up to 70 points.
He got some ripped pecs with that.
The dragon, the panther, it looks like a fire-breathing dragon, but the fire-breathing panther up on top of the scoreboard there must have gotten a workout.
Oh, definitely. It was a great game. I loved being there. And, I mean, the four, Jacob and Caleb Higby, Nathaniel Deke, and Jordan Johnson are some of the four best players in the area.
Must just be that these guys have played a lot of ball in the backyard because they came in, and Jimmy Williams was a pretty good quarterback last year for DeWitt, and you don't hear his name mentioned nearly as much as I thought they would, but the Higbees just come in and throwing the ball last night. How many touchdowns through the air?
I'm not sure how many through the air, but when I was interviewing them for the article, they said that they were constantly, they have 30-plus cousins, so they're always outside playing catch, whether they're playing football or basketball or anything, and those two definitely have a natural connection. Caleb throws it up there, and Jacob always finds a way to catch it.
Yeah, and they know where the other one's going to be, and they start to get some pressure, and it's, you know, like having a safety valve there. A couple of other games last night I thought were particularly important, Tom. Little smaller schools, but you really have to give them a shout out. The Bath Bees playing Langsburg, and Bath has had some tough times of late. But the County Line Trophy, Okay, this is a big deal out there. Mm-hmm. And they beat Langsburg for the first time since 2001. So congratulations to the Bees. And how about Fowler? Andrea, you saw Greg Kenichnecht and the way the Eagles have performed this year. And then they play Fulton. Fulton has been a power in this area for a while now. And Fowler takes care of them last night. You know, they can go through this thing undefeated. And that's the league where you play everybody. You don't play any non-conference games. So another amazing performance by Fowler. And we got a big game today. We can't let that one go without mention. I think they made a mistake here, Tom.
Well, I realize Lansing Catholic wants to have their homecoming in their own environment and everything like that. But you're playing at noon. You're competing with college football. You're competing with a home game at Michigan
State. Well, they're playing at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. And so it's right smack in the middle where, you know, if you had it at 4.
Have it at 4. What's the big deal?
Yeah, you probably could have gotten in before it gets dark, or at least, you know, 3:30 or something like that. Then you get some attendance afterward. A little disappointing in that regard. I wouldn't mind seeing it, but I have to go down to A Square because I got to be there.
Right. Well, you wouldn't have been able to be there anyway, but if it had been a Michigan away game, maybe when the noon game was over, you could have gone over there. We could have gone over there.
You know, they're going to have portable stands brought in. It's going to be a little awkward, but I think it's going to be interesting. The bottom line, two really good teams going at it. We can throw the ball around and score a lot. So we're going to see them both in the playoffs, too, obviously.
Two high-powered offenses, and Jimmy Hearn and Steve Kirsten done a great job with those programs. There'll be a lot of points put up there, too. A couple of quarterbacks really make it happen. So we will be right back. Dan Kilbridge of SpartanTailgate.com will be joining us, and we'll talk about Michigan State and the challenge today with Northern Colorado, also the latest on Mark D'Antonio. And we invite you to give us a call. Follow along, 1320WILS.com. Give us a call, 393-3700. Don't forget Facebook, The Jack and Tom Show, and Twitter. We'll be right back.